Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
We have been looking at some current events which are really keeping pace with fulfilled Bible prophecy, I believe, as we look at various things taking place in the world that remind us that it might be later than we think, and it might be time, if you don't know Christ, to turn your life over to Him. And it certainly, I think, it'd be the good time to look up, for your redemption draws nigh, as we see more and more things taking place. And I'm here tonight, and I believe tonight I will wrap up some of these current events, and I will be taking a 2-week hiatus, actually, taking a little break, but I hope to get through all the material tonight. Otherwise, it will stretch on to another podcast. So, without further ado, I left you last week. I was reading about an article which came from the Parliament of the World's Religions website. A Renewed Understanding of Peace at the 17th World Summit of Nobel Peace Laureates. And I had, the end of the article said that it featured a special address by Pope Francis. And that really was to be my segue, had I had enough time to go into the next current event that I wanted to discuss. But instead, it will segue into this week's podcast. And I wanted to bring to your attention, and I know many of you are familiar with Jackie Elnor, the director of Rapture Ready Radio, and she is an ex-Roman Catholic herself, so knows a lot wherein she speaks, and she keeps track of a lot of what's taking place in the Catholic Church. And so, you know, the Pope speaking at a very New Age-oriented Parliament of the World's Religions, then moving segue-wise to an article that Jackie has just written, and I believe it's going to be more than a one-part article, but this is from part one. It says to be continued at the end of this article, but I wanted to share this with you because it's a very good article, very timely, I think. She's done a lot of good research and keeping up with things going on in the Roman Catholic Church. And the title of this article, and by the way, this is from her website, the Christian Sentinel, S-E-N-T-I-N-E-L, for those of you who are not familiar with it. Anyway, the title of this article is Transformation Complete. Mother Church is now Mother Earth. And, you know, this is a current event, to be sure, involving the Pope, Pope Francis. And very sobering, the type of things that are taking place. So anyway, I wanted to read from her article. I have two articles, really, that I want to read from, one by Jackie and one from another discernment, a lady that's very strong in discernment. And this article that Jackie has written, the message coming from the first week of the 3-week special synod for the Pan-American region at the Vatican is ringing out loud and clear. The long-held Catholic belief in the Bible and sacred tradition as the two pillars upon which their religious institution sits has come crashing down. The vicar of the Antichrist, you know, there's a little play on, well, there's a little joke there, because the Pope is known as the vicar of Christ, and as Jackie puts it, really more like the vicar of the Antichrist, Pope Francis has come out of his pagan closet. The mask is off. Insightful Bible-believing Christians have seen through that mask for eons, but the head-in-the-sand pew-sitter's collective head is spinning. In a Vatican news release published this past weekend, it was reported that a synod exists to listen constantly to the Holy Spirit. Walking together means listening to the agony of Mother Earth. What is Mother Earth saying? Once again, the request was held in the synod hall to be constantly aware of the suffering of the indigenous population who have a sovereign right to exist in the Amazon. Discovering the seeds of the Word of God in the cultures and traditions of the region means recognizing that Christ already lives in the peoples who have not yet heard the gospel. The gospel, in fact, is not the exclusive patrimony of any one culture. Now, this is my comment on that. It sounds a lot like Tony Campolo, you know, who's the arch liberal red letter Christian, who misinterprets Matthew 25, where Christ is speaking, and he says, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And Tony Campolo misinterprets that to the idea that Christ is in everyone already. You know, you don't need to go and share the gospel. You just need to do your social justice, social gospel part. Anyway, that's my thought, my comment. That's what came to my mind when I read that statement. Anyway, going on in Jackie's article, this idea underscores what the current Pope has been saying since he first took office as lightning struck St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome, namely that God speaks to people in every religion in the world. Each one gets a little piece of divine revelation, and if all religions unite, all humankind will be as one. She says, cue up John Lennon's Imagine, you know, that song that John Lennon did about Imagine if there were no religions, etc. Anyway, has the Vatican now redefined the term Word of God? Apparently so. This from the Vatican news release of October 14, 2019. The Word of God is an active and merciful presence. It is educative and prophetic, formative and performative. It underpins that challenge of integral ecology and can be a means for social, economic, cultural, and political development and a new humanism. New humanism? The new humanism? And I had to insert my comment there. This is more like, you know, the new age cosmic humanism, where mankind must evolve to spiritually to recognize he's God or part of God. Anyway, that's my thoughts. This is going on with Jackie's article. Yes, this is what the Pope called for as his motivation for calling for this synod and the one starting on May 14th, 2020, to reflect on the theme Reinventing the Global Education Alliance. That earlier Vatican news release said, Pope Francis called for summoning up the courage to capitalize on our best energies. The status quo should be replaced by giving education a long-term vision to create a new humanism. A pagan ceremony celebrating the Amazon spiritualistic religion opened the Amazon Synod last week. And my comments here would be, you know, other popes have joined with pagan prayers for peace, etc. And before I read Jackie's article, I was thinking about Pope John Paul II's his meeting in Assisi, Italy, where he called together all different types of shamans and voodoo people and snake handlers and everybody else to pray for world peace. But of all these popes, I think Francis is really the worst of the worst. And really, the bad pope on steroids here. The Pope was the guest of honor and was presented with some sort of magic black ring from the paint and feathered shaman who presided over the circle of merrymakers. Francis welcomed the shamaness's nude wooden statue that was the focus of the ritual. It was later discovered to be none other than Inca goddess Pachamama. I would say, you know, such a wonderfully inclusive religious leader, you know, who's really pretty much of a spiritual huckster. Again, my comments are a sham huckster. One Catholic critic in shock over this ceremony wrote, "This is sheer paganism. Our Pope presided over and blessed a pagan ritual where false gods were worshipped and called upon. He is no doubt infested with demons himself." That's bold, but probably not far from the truth. And I would say it goes without saying that is the case. And, you know, you wonder which ones are pulling his strings these days. Michael Voris, the head of the right-wing Catholic media group Church Militant, had this to say, "In the spirituality of the millennia-old religions of Central and South America, the name of Mother Earth is Pachamama, the goddess of fertility. She is revered as the goddess who presides over planting and harvesting, embodies the mountains, and causes earthquakes. She is, in short, the giver of life and the source of the earth, sun, moon, and water. Pachamama is seen as a conscious, personal being. Sacrifices are made to her. It is true that different religions and there are many in the region, view Mother Earth with varying understandings, but this Pachamama spirituality has deep, deep roots in the forest of the Amazon and beyond. Voorhees was one of the leaders of a contingent of faithful, quote-unquote, Catholic protesters who took a stand in St. Peter's Square in Rome before the synod opened in Rome. They jointly prayed the rosary in faith that the Queen of Heaven, also known as the Mother of God, would bring the victory. You know, we need to pray for Michael Voorhees for his salvation, as he is still steeped in false Catholic views. Anyway, Marian apparitions have supposedly prophesied of a coming time when the Vatican would be under the control of a dark anti-pope. But you know, if you have faith in Marian apparitions, you might want to have your head examined, to say the least, because, of course, these Marian apparitions themselves are basically infestations of demons, people who have been either deluded or been given over to some types of hallucinations, or in reality, I think, demonic visitations. Going on in the article, what they don't realize is that Pachamama is just an earlier version of the Babylonian Queen of Heaven that had brought the Israelites into idolatry in the Old Testament, bringing upon themselves the condemnation of the God of Israel. Jackie says that I tried to warn Mr. Voorhees about this long before all this befell him, but he wouldn't listen. I sent him an article I wrote back in 2003, Entertaining Devils Unawares, in which I documented that Pachamama was artistically preserved in the bronze door of the then new Cathedral of Our Lady of the Angels in Los Angeles. The description of the various depictions of Our Lady is still on that Catholic cathedral's website in the link Art in their menu. Under the subheading Manifestations of the Virgin, number one reads, 1. Virgin of Pomata, this image from the Andes village comes from the late colonial school of Cusco. Mary wears a feathered Inca headdress and a billowing dress suggestive of Pachamama, the Inca mountain goddess. Voorhees responded by blocking me from comments on his website and Facebook page. And, you know, I would say this. People should listen to Jackie, you know, rather than block her more often than not. And I'll just say that as a comment. And Jackie's my friend and a co-worker in discernment. And she has a wealth of knowledge and information. Her and her husband both have been involved for many years in discernment ministry. He can't say he wasn't warned, eye roll. And then even the new LA Times reported on how ancient goddesses were being recognized by the Diocese of Los Angeles as prior incarnations of the Mother of God. In their story of the opening of the new Catholic cathedral, that was published in their Sunday magazine on September 1st, 2002, In Our Own Image, Times reporter Reed Johnson wrote, "Down through the centuries, she has gone by many different names. The Virgin of Pomato, the Virgin of Mount Sorrett, the Divine Shepherdess, the Sorrowful Mater Dolorosa, grieving for her son, depicted in Michelangelo's Pieta, La Virgin de Guadalupe, also known as Our Lady of the Americas, who revealed herself not to the rich and powerful, but to the Indian peasant Juan Diego, the formidable Madonna of the Apocalypse, destined to help rid mankind of Satan." Traditionalist Catholic Michael Matt, editor of the conservative Catholic publication The Remnant, and I myself am very familiar with this magazine. I've quoted from it myself at times. The Remnant magazine wrung his hands over what he saw as a blatant takeover of Satan over his beloved Mother Church. In a recent podcast he titled Hippies in the Vatican, he said, "All we hear here in Rome is become environmentally conscientious and awake. That's the most important thing. Heaven is replaced now with our common home." When they talk about common home, they refer to it in almost in reverential terms. We must know, love, and serve Mother Earth like it's sacred, like it's pantheism or something. And once again, my note, you know, still Pope John Paul II and others were vulnerable to this pagan invasion in the past, but it now, you know, like I say, Pope Francis is on spiritual counterfeit steroids, let's say. What happened to our church is the question we're all asking here. In Rome this week, as we watch the spirit of Vatican II now become what looks like the incarnation of a new Christ, the old Christ doesn't seem to be here in Rome this week. It's a new Christ. It's a Christ who speaks through both the shaman and the priest at the same time and with the same efficacy. Satan himself couldn't have disoriented these men any more than they are. If this is truly what they're going to do now, moving forward in the Catholic Church, if this is their new path, they're misrepresentatives of Christ. And, well, that goes without saying, but and the spirit of Vatican II has turned them all into missionaries of the psychobabble of the modern world, the world that has rejected Christ and has co-opted this synod and the entire church in an effort to create the impression now that Christ himself, this is where the blasphemy comes in, that Christ himself, this new Christ, is blessing and approving of the entire Masonic agenda of the one world religion and the new world order. Unfortunately for these well-meaning men who work tirelessly trying to preserve the old Catholic religion, Pope Francis has cut them off at the pass. In the tradition of former Pope John Paul II, who also presided over a witch doctor's ritual, including involving a cauldron of liquid from which Saint John Paul drank of it from a shell at an ecumenical gathering in Assisi, and that's the one I referenced earlier that I mentioned, Francis is creating that new global religion. He has set up his own handpicked school of cardinals who are a rubber stamp board for him to get away with this final transformation of the Mother Church. Michael Voris and Michael Matt are too late. Their beloved religion has now been taken over by a gay clergy, and they don't realize that this is nothing new. I do feel sympathy for them. My heart broke for Voris when he said in his opening statement at the roundtable on heretical Amazon Synod. Pope Francis has brought such moral and political confusion to the world and the church that he needs to recognize this and resign. The entire purpose of this so-called Amazon Synod is to complete the work of revolutionaries within the church who began their undermining of the church many decades ago. Since Pope Francis, far from having attempted to prevent this evil, has actually contributed to it. Sensible, faithful Catholics, be they political conservatives or not, Americans or not, for those are all categories far more confining in scope than our shared love of the ancient faith. We assert that Pope Francis has forsaken his sacred duty and needs to step down. This, and remember, this is a Catholic speaking, of course. This is not biblical Christianity, obviously, and this is not truth that, you know, Mr. Matt and Mr. Voris hold, but it's becoming much worse, of course, with Pope Francis and the things that are taking place. This becomes more and more clear with each passing pronouncement, exhortation, consistory, ecclesiastical appointment, shuffling of the curia, and so forth. Pope Francis and his clerical allies are creating a globalist organization with a Catholic appearing face. What is emerging is not Catholic. The facade should be dropped, and for once, truth be allowed to prevail. And again, my comments, of course, the Roman Catholic Church has always been a work salvation aberration of true Christianity, but it is now on the fast track towards becoming part and parcel of the coming one world religion. And so in closing out Jackie's article, she says, and I couldn't help sympathizing with Michael Matt when he said, they don't realize how passe you've become, how much you are the sort of stereotypical hippie, the aging hippie that's just lost track. It's not groovy anymore. They change the words. They change the vocabulary. Mother Church, for example, she has become Mother Earth. Their weapon of choice is the rosary. As I watch them babbling the Hail Marys and the Holy Queen prayers, all I could think is what a horrible cosmic joke on them. They're praying to the Queen of Heaven, the one and the same goddess of fertility that their institution has come out to worship, Pachamama. And so, as I say, this article is to be continued. So I'm sure it's going to be quite enlightening to continue to keep up with this. And I don't know if I have enough time. I'm going to jump in here on the next article, the next current event that I'm going to deal with. So, like I say, I may be doing another podcast, but either at the end of this podcast or next week, I will be taking a two-week break. I want to mention that again, so that if you wonder where I went, either I've been raptured and hopefully you're with me, or you will hear again back from me in a couple of weeks. Now, the next article I want to touch on is by Marcia West, and it's called, it's from the Renew America website, titled, Christianity is Teeming with Creepy Con Artists, soothsayers, heavenly tourism, peddlers, and partakers in faith-based yoga. And this is from October 11th, 2019. She says it probably won't come as a surprise to learn that Christian discerners can become discouraged. Speaking for myself, I've discovered a lot of bad stuff about Christian luminaries over the years, even those I admired at the time. For one thing, I've discovered that men and women I thought were trustworthy are up to their earlobes in false teaching. Even our leaders can and have failed the Berean tests, and that's Acts 11:17. That might be Acts 17:11. I didn't double check that, but I think it's Acts 17, actually, 11. Which is the reason so many of them have wandered off the straight and narrow path onto Wolf Lane. It's distressing that Christ's beloved sheep fill their minds with unbiblical teaching from popular Bible teachers without adhering to John's warning. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. The facts bear out that a growing number of evangelicals have little or no grasp of sound doctrine. Simply stated, they don't understand the basics of what they believe. If asked, they're unable to defend their faith. And, of course, 1 Peter 3:15 tells us that we are to make a defense of the faith. Okay, make no mistake, many Christian celebrities are creepy con artists. Moreover, a lot of people who teach the Bible, even in churches, are simply ill-equipped. Instead of teaching sound doctrine, as the Bible instructs us to do, their teaching is weak, highly unorthodox, and in many cases outright heretical. Even after being exposed to the truth, many Christ followers choose to embrace false teaching. Stay tuned for a few examples. The sad fact is that students of the Bible are not learning authentic biblical Christianity. Malleable minds are being filled with the worst kind of occult teaching imaginable. It's the sort of thing worldly Christians gravitate to. So with all this in mind, following are three examples of close friends of mine that plugged their ears when I pointed out some of their unbiblical beliefs and pleaded with them to guard against error. Christian mysticism. A growing number of evangelicals practice what is called contemplative centering or listening prayer. And this comes straight from the Catholic Roman Catholic mystic monks. Participating in contemplative prayer will not get anyone one millimeter closer to God. In fact, the goal of this meditative state is simply to empty one's mind, which results in an altered state of consciousness. I've talked a lot about contemplative prayer in the past, but let's look a little bit more at what Marcia has to say. This sort of meditation is not biblical, brethren. What is biblical meditation, you ask? Simply reading what God says in His Word and keeping our minds active while we soak up His wisdom. Point of fact, contemplative prayer meditation isn't Christian. It's Eastern, Hindu, Buddhist in origin. Anyone who chooses to practice CP is wading into the world of the occult. Those who read the Bible know that God makes it clear that His children are not to involve themselves in any part of pagan practice. He expressly forbids it. Now, to my dear Christian sister, I'll call her Carol, she had a friend who attended Bethel Church in Redding, California, and suggested that she find a quiet place where she could go to listen to God on the matter. She was instructed to write down what she heard God saying to her in her mind. So Carol complied, feeling certain that the voice she heard was God speaking to her. As the words flowed into her thoughts, she'd write them in a journal. After a few weeks, Carol shared with me what she believed God was telling her. She wanted to know what I thought of the process. I took a deep breath and responded as calmly as I could under the circumstances that what she had described to me was a New Age practice called automatic writing. I explained that so-called psychics practice this and that the object was to channel information through the spirit that flows through the person's hands. The channel information includes predictions and prophecy. And by the way, I was at a UFO conference and I met a gentleman whose father was an inventor. This man's name was Kirkwood. I forgot his first name, but he would go every night to bed with a pad of paper and a pen so that he could write down information while he was in a altered state of consciousness, while he was sleeping. But he began to depend on the fact that there would be an automatic writing form of communication with spirits. And he actually invented some things pertaining to stereo systems of the past, you know, with record discs and such. Very interesting. And really, in the book Zola Levitt and John Weldon, Is There Life After Death?, they talk of this, and John Weldon has spoken much often about this, that, for instance, the Xerox copier is said to have originated from occult sources through, you know, this type of channeled spirit bringing this information. I know it sounds far out there, but if you do the research, you'll find a lot of this type of phenomena has taken place. I don't have a lot of time to go. I would have liked to have said more about that. He talks about Dr. Monroe, who, you know, had books concerning how to do out-of-body experiences and train people how to do so. And just all of this involvement with spiritism and automatic writing. Now, back to the article. It says there's more. My dear sister mentioned that some of her Christian friends have the spiritual gift of dream interpretation. Carol believes the women have the so-called gift, so she has them interpret Carol's dreams. Not one to pull punches, I told her that the woman was practicing witchcraft. I also reminded her that that it was possible that the Christian dream interpreters were not hearing from God. They were channeling deceptive spirits, in other words, demons. And look at Jeremiah, as I run out of time, Jeremiah 23, verses 25 through 26 and 32. Jeremiah 23, 25. As I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. And then in verse 32, behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their recklessness. So that's a stern word from God through the prophet Jeremiah's writing, you know, the book of Jeremiah. Let me finish. I'm running out of time. Sadly, often during desperate times, Carol continues listening to and taking advice from Christians. Now she speaks of heaven tourism, and that's where those who claim to have gone to heaven and come back to tell the story. Talks about the one of the most popular one, Heaven is for Real, a little boy's astounding story of his trip to heaven. Well, there's a man that actually in my Sunday school class that had told me or had mentioned that he thought it was really great when the movie came out based on that book. And, you know, he just needs prayer for discernment. Anyway, I am going to run out of time, but I am not going to have enough material for my next podcast. So before I close, let me finish up with what I have here. She also talks about Christians and yoga, which I've spoken about in the past. So Hebrews 9:27 is an excellent scripture that tells us it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. So those who claim to have died and gone to heaven and or hell or wherever and come back to talk about it, they didn't really die, because the next step for the person who dies is the judgment, either the judgment seat or the white throne judgment. So I'm just about out of time. God bless you all, and I will be taking a two-week break, and I hope you'll all come back and listen in the future if we're all still here. God bless. Good night.